The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Now, I need you to turn to Genesis chapter 28. I want to repeat the words that Jesus says to Nathanael. But you go ahead and turn to Genesis 28. And he said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." I want that to sink in. You'll see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. Many, many years before the words of Jesus. Genesis 28. Now, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and he stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and he put it at his head and he laid down in that place to sleep. Listen carefully to verse 12. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to the heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Let's pray. Father, your word is true, and we thank you for it. We ask that you would use it this morning as we approach your table. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you caught it. I was deliberate to kind of read it several times. But there's some similar illustrations being set before us, one in a dream and one out of the mouth of Jesus. And I'd like to focus on today those words out of Jesus' mouth. You see some similar words in Genesis 28. I didn't read you all of them, but after he had seen that, when he was having the dream, Jacob was having the dream, it says, "And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth and its top reached to heaven." We hear in the text that we didn't read today, but earlier we read last week, "Behold the Lamb of God." You see this reoccurring word, "Behold," and we'll come back to it. But you hear that Jacob has this dream, and I don't know if y'all know much about Jacob. But Jacob and Esau is a very familiar story to those who've grown up in Sunday school. And in Jacob there was much deceit, right? His brother was born first, and they said he was holding on to his heel as the twin, which that's what the name means. And later Jacob's name would be changed to Israel. But Jacob was very deceitful, and his mother even and both came up with a plot of how to rob Esau of his birthright. And some of you might remember this story where the father told Esau to go out and hunt and kill him something to make a meal, and he would give him his birthright. His mother knew of it, and they schemed against his father and in order for a way that he could get the birthright. And his dad not having great eyes, he was able to deceive his father, even though he didn't sound like Esau. He faked him out with fur of an animal when his dad reached down and grabbed his arm. And what we have in the text today is Jesus, well, you know the story, his brother gets mad and he wants to kill his brother, and Jacob runs. He runs into hiding. He goes to find him a wife according to his mama's wishes, far away. And he has this dream of this ladder that reached from heaven to earth. And what we have here this morning in verse 52 is Jesus explaining his commentary on who the ladder is. Did you catch that? Did you catch that in the text, that when you see in his dream, you see the dream of Jacob, he sees this ladder from set up on the earth and its top reached to the heaven, and there these angels of God were ascending and descending. You see that Jesus says some familiar words, and he's doing kind of like what the Lord's table does. He's saying, you remember that picture? You remember that sign that was given to Jacob? I'm it. I'm the ladder. I'm the ladder between earth and heaven. Now we know that's true based on the fact that Jesus' claims later on in John. He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but through me. But Jesus is making a comment. He's not just talking to Nathanael, even though as we read it, you think he's just speaking to Nathanael because there's a conversation. But the word is used plural. He's talking to a group of people when he speaks to them. And he's given his commentary on Jacob's dream. When he says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now, the Son of Man is a term that Jesus loves to refer to himself as. He loves to speak of himself as the Son of Man. He does it several times in this text. One reason is because it communicates his divinity. If you go to Daniel, we won't look at it now for the sake of time, but in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, 14, the term Son of Man is used speaking of God. There are overtones of his divinity in that title. But there's also overtones of his humanity in that title, Son of Man. He's not saying, hey, I'm of this group of people. He's saying, there's a human aspect to who I am. Not an aspect, but a reality to who I am. And the word Son of Man is associated with Christ's heavenly glory and salvation. And so what Jesus is claiming in this text, and there's so many wonderful claims throughout the chapter 1. There's John saying, and the Word was, and the Word was in the beginning, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word created all things. And then he says, then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then later on he says, there's the Lamb. You've got all these signs that are given in the Old Testament that point to Jesus. And Jesus says, I am the fulfillment of the sign of the ladder between heaven and earth. Jesus is a ladder between heaven and earth. He's the true mediator between God and man. Do you believe that? Or are you one that believes that there's a lot of ways to God? There's a lot of different ladders to God. There's a lot of different ways. Yeah, and this is the thought of today. Is, well, you believe what you want to believe about God, and I'll believe what I want to believe about God. But Jesus is saying, no, I'm the only ladder. I am the ladder in Jacob's dream. between God. And you think of how God pursues Jacob in his deceit and in his crime of stealing the birthright and all these horrible things that he schemed up and done that wasn't, he kind of was trying to work his way to get that inheritance. And yet God, even in his sin, reaches down and gives him the true vision of how to gain the inheritance, which is the ladder, the eternal inheritance. I want us to talk about this ladder. It's a sufficient ladder. Jesus is a sufficient ladder. Have you ever wondered why he had to become man? Why God had to become man? Why there had to be both a human, 100% human, 100% God? Do you ever question that and wonder? Well, this is the way God reaches down to earth. You hear the ladder that it's on the earth and it reaches all the way. Have you ever had a ladder that didn't go all the way? I was doing a work project with here. We had a church work day, and 2 years ago I got on the roof, which I'm the last person you should want on a roof, especially older roofs. And all we had was this A-frame ladder that you climb up to a certain point, and then you kind of have to lift yourself up the rest of the way. And I was so thankful Kip was here. Kip Pratt came. And I was like, Kip, you want to get up there and, you know, rake off the pine straw? But the ladder didn't quite reach the roof. And it was there was a danger element where you had to have spotters there as he was getting up on the roof. But what we know about this text and what Jesus is saying that he's the fulfillment of is this ladder reached sufficiently from the earth to the heavens. Because man had sinned, only a true representative of mankind could atone for his sin. In order for God to atone for our sins, he had to come to this earth, he had to come down, he had to descend to this earth and become the flesh so that he could die. So that he could die on the cross for our sins. In order to redeem us, Jesus must take on himself a body and a nature like ours, sacrificing and offering. Hebrews 10:5 says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. This is from our Savior. Hebrews 2:14 and 15 says, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. The ladder had to come all the way down to this earth for it to be a sufficient ladder. And it had to reach all the way up in the heavens. He had to stay God at the same time. It was his deity and his suffering and his virtue and his worthiness. There was an illustration used one time by a pastor. Says, "Would you, if you had the choice, if you had to save someone's life, well, let's use it this way: what would be easier to kill, a roach or a person?" You say a roach. And it'd be easy if you had the choice between all the roaches that ever existed or a person. I hope you would choose the roaches because they have no worth, right? They're worthless. But Jesus, when he came down, and we've used this illustration before, and became a man, he condescended himself to become a man, to become a figurative and compared to him, a roach. The worthiness of his death for all of us comes in the fact that he was God doing it. It enhances his worthiness of being that sufficient ladder, his deity. In order for him to be the mediator between God and man, he must be able to be both. He must be God that he might deal with God. He must be man that he might deal with man. Job complained in Job 9:33 that there was no umpire between him and God. There's nobody to go between us. And Jesus said, yes, there is. It's me. 100% God, 100% man. I've come to be the mediator between you and man, between God and man. It's not only a sufficient ladder because of it reaches fully from the heaven to the, from the earth to the heavens. Jesus does. It's for all types. We see that in this text with all these different personalities. You got Andrew, who we talked about last week, who would kind of take a back seat to his brother Peter, and he seemed to have a heart for evangelism, but he was kind of simple. And then you have Peter, who had his high highs and his low lows. Anybody who's had more than one kid, you see each kid, they're so different from each other. And Peter had his high highs and his low lows. And Philip was kind of simple. He wasn't a theological heavy hitter. And as you read about him, and Nathaniel seems to question everything and just kind of be a blunt person. Yet Christ is sufficient for all of them. And the same thing is true about each one of us. If you know Jesus Christ, we all have different stories. We all have different personalities. But it's the sufficient ladder, Jesus, that is there for us. Not just for all types of people, but people with all stories. We each have a different testimony to share. And so this ladder is sufficient, not only that it reaches from the earth to the heaven, but that it reaches any type of person. There's no one person who sins too great for Jesus Christ to save from their sins. And that's not only true, in this case, it's true for each one of us. And it's an everlasting ladder, a durable ladder, a dependable ladder, Jesus is. Hebrews 7:25 says he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him. He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him. It's an eternal ladder. He's the eternal way, the ladder between earth and heaven. That's what he's claiming. He's saying that vision, that dream that was given to Jacob, where he says, surely God is with me, surely he's in my presence, is me. Can you imagine those disciples? I'm sure they didn't fully get it. But as they're starting to gather him, and they're gathering with him, and they're following him, and they're hearing him speak, that he's putting before them in his teaching that I am the only way, the truth, and the life. This ladder was from earth to heaven, and Christ is the ladder. He's absolutely dependable. You can count on him. He'll never let you down. In Hebrews again, 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Whoever believes in him, according to Romans, will not be disappointed. Jesus saying, I'm the only one you're to put your trust into. I am dependable. You think of all the things that we put our trust into and how each one of them let us down tremendously. And Jesus saying, I'm alone. I'm the sufficient one. I'm alone in the way. If you're familiar with some of the denominations out there, and you know, we always get nervous when we say, I believe in the Catholic Church, because we think we're affirming the truths that we believe in the Roman Catholic Church, the denomination. And we're just talking about we believe in the universal church, not the Roman Catholic Church. But the Roman Catholic Church is one of those churches that is guilty of adding to the gospel. They're guilty of adding Mary to the gospel. Jesus Christ saves in Mary. Y'all know that when they have the Lord's Supper there, they believe it turns into the real flesh and the real blood of Jesus? Because they believe every time that they take the Lord's Supper, he has to be sacrificed again. Jesus says, I'm once for all. Some of us will add rules. Well, you can't be a Christian unless you've been baptized. You can't be a Christian unless you've done this. Or Christ saves, but I've got to do all these things. And Jesus is saying, I'm the only ladder. all the other religions out there outside of evangelical Christianity will say that you have to do something to save yourself. You have to be good enough. You have to obey the law perfectly. And Jesus said, I obeyed the law perfectly. You trust in me and you will gain heaven. But this ladder has to be revealed to us, doesn't it? I mean, it's being spoken to these men at the time, and I'm not sure it was revealed to them right away, but our eyes have to be open to this truth. Jacob had to see this vision. It was at that point where he turned away from his deceitful ways and was willing to serve the Lord according to what God had saved him to call him to do. While he slept, it was revealed to him that there needed to be some access given to them, that this ladder Jesus Christ, he is the Lamb, the only Lamb. He is the only way of salvation. Each rung is, you know, when we do the Apostles' Creed and we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, you can maybe picture those as rungs. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He suffered hell for my sins. He rose again from the dead, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and you see Jesus as the fulfillment of all the word, of all the law. And all throughout this text and all throughout that Genesis text, you see this word, behold. Behold the Lamb. Behold the ladder. Behold the Word. For it is He that brings salvation to us sinners. We're to behold the ladder as we're lost and pray for those who would behold the behold Christ Jesus, the lost. We'd pray that the sinner of us struggling with our sins right now, that we would fix our eyes and behold Christ. When we pray and when we worship and we praise, that we'd all behold Christ. When we're in distress and there's uncertainty, we would behold Christ. All the way to the day that He calls us home in Christ Jesus to be with Him. We're seeing in this text the transforming power of the gospel. How the one who's come to take away the sins, the one who's come to teach our truth and to confront our lies, the one who is the prophet, priest, and king, the Messiah, Christ Jesus, all throughout this, these men are giving up everything to follow Him. Everything to come see Him. Trusting in Him alone as the only bridge between heaven and earth, dwelling with Him who dwelt with us, the King of Israel. In closing, the last two sermons we've spent looking at these five men. And each one of them were bringing people to Christ and saying, behold Him. John the Baptist, that was what his whole reason to live and exist, and it's what the Lord saved these men to do, is to bring, and each one of them, Andrew brings Philip. I mean, Andrew brings Peter, and eventually they bring Philip in, and Jesus says, follow me, and Philip goes and gets Nathanael. Those of us who've been transformed by Jesus Christ need to do the same. We need to say, come and behold Christ Jesus. Come and see the one. Come and see the only one who can take away our sins. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the commentary that Jesus gives us on this dream of Jacob in the Old Testament. When he speaks of the angels descending and ascending upon himself, and we think of the angels that showed themselves forth throughout Jesus' time on this earth, revealing Jesus to the shepherds, revealing the coming Savior to Mary and to Zacchaeus, it means Zechariah, and Lord revealing them to revealing him and giving them a purpose to point the way to Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for this ladder from heaven to earth. We thank you for providing the bridge that is needed for us sinners to know the hope of eternal salvation through Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing Fairest Lord Jesus. Fairest Lord Jesus 104. And we'll sing first two verses as the Lord's table is prepared. Please stand.